Can we turn? This is the last time in John 21. This is the sixth, believe it or not, the sixth time we've spoken from John 21. So it's been a long journey. And all we've got left in this great story from Jesus entering Jerusalem on that donkey to basically going back up to heaven, all we've got left is the ascension after this. So I'm going to be heading somewhere in a different direction. Let's read. Remember, what we've had so far, and we've spent virtually two Sundays on this, is, you know, Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. So we've been talking about Peter, do you love the Lord? And secondly, the calling on your life is to feed. And remember, we talked about the fact that the last time there, feed my sheep, it's actually more than just feed, it's protect. It's feed and protect the sheep of God. So we're into verse 18. I almost didn't prepare a message on this. I thought, oh no, we've finished the main part of 21. Let's not do it. Let's not do it. And then I thought, no, God wants to say two things to us basically from these verses. And we'll read to the end of the chapter. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. Sounds like me today. But when you shall be old, you'll trip up on a bag and not be able to go anywhere you want. You shall stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird you and carry you where you don't want to go. This he spoke, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Thank you, Jean. This he spoke, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, who is he that is going to betray you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus said to him, mind your own business. Oh no, he said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Follow thou me. Now this is quite interesting that it's Adam's last and Cheryl's last day here, because the two points I believe that God wants to say to us this morning is basically good for all of us. This is good. These are very good principles of God for all of us, but especially for you two. So again, I got the pleasure of being able to say something to you on your wedding day, the third or fourth time you've been married, and I've got a privilege today to actually say this to you two especially, okay? Because I believe what God's saying here through John's Gospel is for you especially, but it's also for us all. When you see this, Jesus has been speaking from verse 15 to 17 about loving the Lord and feeding the sheep. And suddenly Jesus does a mental blip. I love it when Jesus does these blips. It's off the wall. This is to left, this is left centre out, you know, basically it's random. If a teacher does this in the classroom, the kids, where is this teacher going? It's just a random comment here. How can Jesus talk about loving him and then feeding the sheep and suddenly talk about this random comment? Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself. What's Jesus on here? And I believe that you've got to look at this verse and say, oh, help. This is crazy, this is madness. But every time the apparent madness of Jesus and what he says and where he goes with these comments always has a very good reason for it. There is reason for what Jesus said to Peter here. And you learn from that. Every time in the Bible when I say, I don't understand what's going on here, I always go, wow, whoopee, because the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit wrote it. The Holy Spirit put this in the mind of John. This is ordained by God. This is breathed by God. So therefore, let's have a look at this. What's he going on about here? Now, he says to Peter, after this thing, do you love me three times? And Peter's really suffered with this, do you love me, feed my sheep. He's suffered. He's suffering. And suddenly Jesus starts saying, when you were young, and you still are young, you can do whatever you like. You can go wherever you like. You can do whatever you want. And when you're young, remember, few of us have got further back to remember than others, you know. It's no use you laughing and hitting Bryce on the on the shoulder, Fraser. You know, some of us are younger than others, you know. And basically, when you're young, your dreams are there and your passion is there and you just want to follow that passion. That's the idea, eh? You've got dreams and hopes and aspirations and you just want to follow that passion. And you know, it's basically up to you. And you say, I'm going to run after that goal. And you really think you can achieve everything. It's sad that as we grow older, we kind of think we can't achieve everything. And yes, there are certain things we can't achieve. You know, I can't run a marathon in under 3 hours anymore, and this sort of stuff, but that's of no great deal. I think to actually be young throughout your whole life is to actually put no limitations on what you and God can achieve together. That's a very that's interesting for me. Being old basically is when you say, "Oh, there are so many limitations, I can't do anything," and that's not right, eh? We can always do something. And so it's interesting that he says here to Peter, when you were young and you still are young, you can do anything you like. You can go where you want. You can decide what you want. That's fine. And you think, Jesus, what are you talking about? And then look what happens there. There's a double colon. Look at it there. He said, when you were young, blah, 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 you can go where you want. And then double colon in the word but. And you know something's coming. Every time you see a double colon in Scripture, the grammatic is very, very interesting because it's a stop sign. It basically says, oh, that's the first part of it. And now you come to the red light. Let's listen to this. And then comes the but. Look at it. But when you shall be old, Peter, and that's coming, as sure as eggs are eggs, Peter, you shall stretch forth your hands and another shall gird you. I don't think Peter knew what was going on here. I think he had no idea what Jesus was on about. And without John's explanation in verse 19, we wouldn't either. This was said for Peter to remember much later on. This was the last little bit of information Peter was going to get for his life journey. He basically was getting, because of his threefold denial, a threefold question, do you love me? Feed my sheep, protect my lambs. That was the sense. And now he's saying to him, when you're young, do what you like. You can go everywhere you want. But when you're old, someone's going to put you on somewhere that you don't want to go to, and you're going to be at the mercy of somebody else. And you can see here, this spoke he, signifying by what death he would glorify God. Now, obviously, as the tradition holds, Peter was also crucified and would not allow himself to be crucified like his Lord. For him, this was too, he was not following in the footsteps of Jesus to that degree and told the people, crucify me upside down. That's the tradition that's come through the church, that Peter was crucified upside down. How that is possible, I just cannot begin to believe. Crucifixion alone is hard enough without doing it upside down. But that's the actual tradition. I don't know if anyone in the church has heard more about that, but that's the actual tradition that has come through the early church, that Peter died, crucified, and yes, he refused. He refused to be allowed to be crucified upright. Now, this follow me is the second time, of course, that Peter's got this. At the beginning of his ministry and time with Jesus, of course, we're not turning to it, but Matthew 4, verses 18 to 20, you hear this whole thing of Peter being called to be a fisher of men. And the only way that's possible is to follow me. And that's the first thing I want to actually say here today about what Peter's hearing here and how it affects us. Peter was called to be a fisher of men. He was called to be a feeder of sheep. He was called to protect the sheep and to look after them. And the only way he was going to do it is to follow the Lord. And so I say to Adam and Cheryl, the only way you can actually do this, and you are fishers of men in Malaysia, you are feeders of sheep in Malaysia, you are protectors of sheep in Malaysia. It's a threefold calling. I'll just say it straight into your lives. And the only way you'll actually do that effectively is to follow God. Yeah. The only way that we can actually be following our calling is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and his voice. You cannot have a ministry without following Jesus. Because wherever Jesus leads you, he's going to actually provide for you. It's logical, I know, but think about it. The only way any of us can follow the calling of God that's on our life, and I am a great believer that all of us have a calling of God on our lives. We're sent to do stuff here in this world. We may belittle it sometimes, but all of us have a calling. And you may say, oh, only the leadership's got a calling, only the worship leader, only the teacher, only the house group leader. And baloney. Each one of us is called by God. God looks at each of us with a real tender eye and said, I have moulded and fashioned that person for this particular work. I can only believe that, because otherwise, why waste the creative power of God? And when you say you have no calling, you're actually saying God's creative power is a waste of time. It's interesting, eh? Every person born of the Spirit of God, redeemed by God, every person born has this calling. A lot of people don't come into it. But every person born of the Spirit of God has a purpose in the kingdom of God. It's finding that. Following it. And you only do it by following. Now, this is interesting for Peter, because if he hadn't followed the voice of God, he'd have never gone to a certain group of sheep that he didn't want to go to. Let's think about this. If Peter had not followed the voice and the Spirit of God, he'd have never have encountered the Gentile flock. And Peter, of all of the disciples, was the one who pioneered and made it sure that we are part of the kingdom of God and the church of Jesus Christ. Without that little dream, and then the explanation of the dream, and then going down to Joppa and finding these believers down there, in Joppa of all places, and saying, you know, and then preaching to them, and then saying, what must we do to be saved? Repent and be baptized, and away it goes. And the church of the Gentiles, that's you and me, folks, we're not Jews, that's you and me, was begun because Peter followed the voice. That's most interesting for me. Jesus said, you're going to be feeding and you're going to be protecting sheep, and Peter doesn't even know that the Gentile flock's waiting for him down in Joppa. Got no idea. But Peter, remember, becomes a shepherd of the sheep. And that's why in 1 Peter it says, to the scattered tribes, to the scattered groups of believers, Peter's letters were always to the scattered flocks. He was always a guy that had us in his heart and mind. If you look at 1 Peter, how he addresses that letter, it's fascinating. It's because he had a heart for the flock. Where did he get it? This calling came in John 21. And he only got there because he followed the voice of God. He was a follower. And we can only do what God has set us to do by following that voice. Hearing the voice and following the voice. It's the only way. And then this cryptic comment. I want to come back to this verse 18. This difference between young and old. The young able to follow the dream and the passion, and the old totally bound, totally unable to really follow their own ways. It's a cryptic comment. What was he meaning here? And I believe what he's meaning here has a lot to do with the following statement. We should follow the voice of God while we can. Who knows the time we've got? Who knows what is available for us and the opportunities that are available? And it was as Jesus was saying to Peter, at the moment, Peter, you are a healthy, vigorous young man. I've got my call on your life, and I want you to use that opportunity. I'm calling you now to be a feeder and protector of the sheep. And you can go and follow that passion, that dream, but you don't know how long you've got, Peter, because the time will come when you can't do that. Let's go to John. That's a verse immediately springs to mind. Let's go in another place in John, John 9. Let's go to John 9. John 9 verse 4. This is my, I've said this before in the church, this was my sister's, she died at age 33. This was my sister's favourite verse. and I've said this before, and I always wondered why she, and she said this ages before she, and she had no idea that a tumour was in her brain. No idea. From 13, they reckon, from puberty. Yeah, so he had no idea in the wide world and went out, and this was her verse, John 9 verse 4, I must, you know, that's a strong aim, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, the night comes when no man can work. It's the same story that Jesus is saying to Peter. When you're young, go and do it, Peter. I'm going to send you down to Joppa, you don't know this yet, and you're going to minister to Gentiles of all people, Gentiles, the unclean of the world, great Jewish man that you are. And you're going to minister and protect those sheep. You're going to feed them. You're going to really look after them. Because the time's going to come when someone's going to put you on a cross and stretch your arms out. And you can't do anything about it. So, Peter, use the time. And look at this verse. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day. While I'm young. While it's possible. The night comes. When no man can work. It's all over. The opportunity we've been given is phenomenal, because you look at it, and what my sister said to me, and she didn't know, she said, I love this verse. And we kind of said, oh yeah. And she went worldwide. She went to every continent of the world. She was in every continent ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I still meet people in Europe who were touched by that life. Only 33. I've said this before, she did eons more. Eons more than what you'd done. But that's all right. You don't compare. That's coming up, eh? But she didn't know, and there was only 33 years open to her. In fact, she got out there into the world of the kingdom of God doing full-time missionary work when she was about 21, 22, 23. So she had about 10 years, and she didn't know. She had no idea. But man, did she take the opportunity. And, you know, It's really a verse for a woman that heard this and went, well, let's utilise the time. Let's go to Ephesians. And this is why, as I was studying this John 21, I thought, yeah, I've got to speak this out in the church. It's in the Bible, and it's important. It's an important lesson for us to remember and hear from the God, from the Lord once again. Ephesians 5. Talking about our lifestyle, our walking with the Lord. Ephesians 5 verse 15 and 16. It's always, it goes with John 9 verse 4. It goes with that verse. It says here, see then that you walk circumspectly. What's someone else got for that? Yeah, careful. Yeah, it's your lifestyle. Be careful what you do with your time. Be careful what you do with your time would be the better translation. Not as fools, but as wise. And then look at this, verse 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are, yeah, well, they're evil, all right. You just got to look around and see what's going on in the world to know that. And that was said in ages ago, and it's still the same. This redeeming the time is like buying the time. Purchasing the time that God's given you. So that's what you're doing up in Malaysia. You're purchasing time. Buying the time. What does that mean? Well, see, it goes into that whole parable of the talents, eh? The three servants. And the three servants were given talents by their master, and the master went away. And what did they do with those talents? What did they do with that opportunity? Well, we know. One traded and got a whole lot, another traded and got a whole lot, and one said, oh no, let's hide it in the ground, and virtually did not do anything with the talent that they were given. And then comes the story, the end point, of course. Two actually redeemed the time while the master was away, and one was too scared, didn't do anything, hid it. Didn't use the time, didn't buy the time. So I believe that what we're doing is actually what we've got here in our lives now is very much the opportunity of what we'll be doing later in eternity. My gut feeling is what you do for God and the kingdom of God now has a great relevance as to what you're doing in eternity. That's my feeling. I only think that. You know, it's that gut feeling I've had in my whole spiritual life in terms of ministry is, what are you doing with the time you've got now? There will come the time when you can't, so you might as well use and utilize the time now. Get involved and follow the call of God in your life, you know, and use the time. Because who knows how much time you've got? And then eternity is eternity. And what we do in eternity, well, it is anyone's guess. But I've got the feeling that in the kingdom of God in eternity, what you have actually bought in terms of the use of the time today and your life today is plays a very big role in what you'll be doing for the Lord in eternity. It's my feeling. Let's get to the second point that I want to go. Let's go back to John 21. So Peter was told, follow me. Use the time. Redeem the time. Peter, you've failed with your threefold denial, but now, Peter, I'm calling you again. Use the time, Peter. Time will come when you don't have that opportunity. Second point is wonderful. Peter, of course, has been he's been through the whole wash cycle, eh? He's had the full wash cycle. He's been rinsed, spun, and hung out to dry. This is a shocker for Peter. You know, the guy is in deep trouble. Before all his mates, he's been asked three times, do you love me? And each time he said, yes, you know I love you. And each time he's been washed again and spun and, and hung up. Poor old Peter. He's feeling horrible. He's been picked on. Nobody likes it. All the other disciples are just spectators of this drama. And he's been picked on. And he feels like he's been rinsed, spun and washed and hung out to dry. He feels it. And suddenly, well, it's natural. He's been picked on. So suddenly he turns around and looks at John. He's been picked on. You find this in a classroom. You say to a kid, why are you not working? Why are you actually talking? Why are you... And the kid says, but look at all the others. Alan, you know this, eh? This is a typical response. If you're picked on, you actually point to someone else who's not getting on with the work. This is a teacher's nightmare. So, yeah, but I'm talking to you. Why aren't you doing anything? I'm doing nothing. I said, that's exactly what I said. Yeah. So it goes on and on. But Peter felt he was picked on. And immediately with this picked on thing, he looks across, sees, and look how John describes himself. This is pride. This is spiritual pride in a big way. The disciple whom Jesus loved, which also leaned on his breast at supper. The disciple who actually said to the Lord, who is going to betray you? This is John, unbelievably, for about the fourth time, saying that I'm the favourite. And everybody knew he was the favourite. So John reiterates it. Everyone knew that John actually just sat there and did nothing but listen to the heartbeat of Jesus. Well, maybe the Lord has those people that do nothing and just listen to the heartbeat. That's interesting, but let's see this. Because Peter, seeing him, said, Lord, and what shall this man do? Now, this is the danger, eh? When you are called by God, and there's something on your life, and you're called by God, the danger is to compare your call with somebody else's. And this little passage is a wonderful passage to tell you, never compare yourself with anybody else in the kingdom of God. Yeah, never. It's not worth it. This, I love that it's in John 21, because it's one of the only times we read about this human nature thing which says, oh, I'm going to compare myself with somebody. And they've got this, and I'm not going to do more than my fair share. Hey, that's what Peter's saying. You're picking on me, you're putting this heavy call on my life, and what about that guy that just sits on your breast, on your heart, listens to your heartbeat, and I tell you what, he does nothing, that guy, John. And he starts to compare. And why isn't he doing his fair share? Why don't you pick on him and call him? Because all he does is just sit there, doing nothing, according to Peter. And so you can't tell. Peter couldn't tell what was going on in John. John the Revelator. Yeah, he had a call, all right. He was going to do some great stuff for God. Peter couldn't tell this. It was between Jesus and John. And I love the reaction of Jesus. Because he said, what shall this man do? You know, before we get onto that, there is the interesting parable that comes to mind in this, what shall this man do, and comparing and saying, you know, I want to do, it's fair. I want to do my fair share, fair enough, but hey, what about that guy? What about that woman? Why aren't they called as much as me? Why aren't they doing as much as me? And the parable that comes is, of course, the parable where Jesus hired people. And remember, the master hired people, some in the 9 o'clock and some at 12 and some at 3. And then the guys that got hired at 4 o'clock or 4:30 or 5 to 5. And everybody at the end of the day got the same wage. And I love that example. I love that parable because that's just unfair. The whole of our human nature just cries out, this is totally unfair. What on earth? I thought God was a just God. Where's the justice in this? These guys had worked 8 hours and they got the same pay as the guys that worked 10 minutes. And I think, no way. And yet, in that parable is this thing here. Forget comparing yourself with other people. Whatever God does in your life, whatever he calls you to, is your business between you and God. Don't look at somebody else's call. Exhort them, encourage them, but don't try and compare your life with theirs. It's impossible. Follow the call God has given you. And that's what I say to Adam and Cheryl today. Firstly, follow the Lord. You cannot do anything but follow the Lord when you go back into Malaysia. Be a lot warmer. You know, Cheryl, you're going to have some warmth finally. And this has been a mild winter. This is not cold. This is one of the mildest starts to winter we've ever had. This is wonderful stuff. So poor Cheryl, she's shivering probably. But listen, follow the Lord together. He's called you, follow him. It's a simple matter of following the voice of the shepherd. And secondly, take the opportunity, use it. The doors that God opens for you, walk through them, follow him, and use the opportunities because it's what God's given you. He's given you an opportunity up there. You don't know how long you'll be able to use that opportunity in that country. But whatever doors God has opened, use them. And don't look at any other missionaries and say, oh, they're not doing their fair share. Oh, I wonder why they're not actually on the ball. You know, why is it all left to me? And this is human nature. Human nature says, you know, why should I bear the burden of this? Forget it. Comparing is never going to help. Our priority is following the call of Jesus Christ in our lives. That's our priority. Not comparing ourselves with anybody else. Just follow the call that Jesus has put on your life. That's your priority. For each and every one of us. Let's turn at last to one last scripture. And then I'll, it's in Micah. In Micah. You'll have some fun finding that. To give you a hint, because I always have difficulty finding these. If you find, Jonah. If you find Jonah, it's the next book. And if you find Habakkuk, you've gone too far. So it's, you know, it's towards the end. And as I was just reading this over this morning and just meditating on this word, I thought, what verse should I end it with? And I hadn't got one when I'd first written the sermon, and then the Lord said to me this verse very clearly. And this is a verse for Adam and Cheryl as they go. That verse in, I don't know, I gave you a verse at the wedding, and this is the second time, another verse for you. It's Micah verse chapter 6. And verse 8. And this is what you know, the Lord showed, Jesus showed Peter. He said, don't compare, Peter. It's none of your business what John's going to do. Just follow me and use the opportunity. And this is the same thing. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Three things. Very simple. But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Follow the Lord. To walk humbly with your God. Follow after the Lord. Do justly, love mercy, and follow your Lord humbly. Walk humbly with your God. And Father, we just pray as we end this message that we would learn from Peter and what you said to him, that we would learn that you've given us an opportunity in this life, you've called each one of us, and you've set us on a road, a calling, and that we would utilize the time that you've given us. We'd redeem the time, purchase the time. Father, I pray for each of us to have courage to know that calling and to take those steps in following after you. And that we would not look at others and look for fairness of calling or for fairness of doing work, that we would say my priority, my responsibility is to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before the Lord my God, and to just follow after you, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray a blessing upon Cheryl and upon Adam as they go back into that country, as they walk and set foot again in Malaysia, that you would lead them, and that they would follow after you, and that their just works and their works of mercy would bring a great harvest, and that they would understand what it is to walk humbly with their God. Father, lead them and guide them and cause them to be followers of the calling that is upon their life. And for us as a church as well, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.